Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Maseches Baba Basra, daf Tzadi Aleph. This is the last daf in the fifth perek of Baba Basra and the fifth perek of Amochar Esasfina. We thank Rabbi Bolzum for giving yesterday's shiur. So he left off about three quarters of the way down on Tzadi Amud Beis, and we have a little bit of ground to make up. A big daf today. Much of it is Agadata. And talks about we start off talking about whether one is allowed to hoard fruits in Eretz Yisrael, whether one is allowed to take fruits from Eretz Yisrael out to Chutz Laretz, and then that segues into a longer discussion about the potential isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz, and what happens to somebody who decides that he's going to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laretz. The Gemara is going to talk a lot about Elimelech, Mahlon, and Kilion. The Gemara is then going to talk about Boaz, talk about different names that they may have had, whether Elimelech and Mahlon and Kilion were their names, and whether Boaz was really his name, or whether something else was his name, and we'll see a lot about that. It's a lot of Agadata, really, and let's just get to it because it's a very big daf. So Rabbi Bolzum left off at Amar Rav. It's about three quarters of the way down on Tzadi Amud Beis. The first word on the line is the Ravach. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Osa Adam es Kavo Otzer. A person is allowed to basically make whatever he brings in, whatever he takes in periodically into a storehouse. So he's allowed to store fruits, even in Eretz Yisrael. Tani Nami Hachi, Ein Otzrim Peros, Dvarim Sheesh Bem Chaye Nefesh, that you're not allowed to hoard Peros when we're talking about things that are Chaye Nefesh, when we're talking about staples. Kagon, Yeno Shmonim Veslosos, Aval, Tavlin, Kumen, Upilpulin, Mutter. However, if it's things that are not Chaye Nefesh, if it's things that are not staples, then you're allowed to hoard them. The Gemara's concern is that there shouldn't be a shortage of foods, that you shouldn't try to hoard in order to cause there to be a shortage in the market, which is then going to permit you to sell at a profit to the detriment of everybody else. Because it's nice that you're making a profit, but of course it's not nice that everybody else now has to pay more for those peros. So says the Gemara, B'medvar Mamurim Belokim Minashuk, Belokeach Minashuk. That's only if we're talking about a lokeach min hashuk. In other words, what you're not supposed to do is you're not supposed to buy out everybody else's stock in order then to sell at a higher price. There may have been a maaser shehayah in this neighborhood about that going on before Pesach. That's not right. Let's say I'm a farmer. Am I allowed to gather a lot from other people? Am I allowed to gather a lot of my produce into a storehouse? So the answer is yes. Savo b'machnis mishalo mutter. However, if I'm machnis mishalo, if I'm a farmer and I am building up a warehouse or a storehouse of my own produce, then of course that's going to be mutter. And says the Gemara Vayter, mutter lo dem letzer peros b'Eretz Yisrael gimel shanim. There are, if you're talking about somebody in Eretz Yisrael, there are 3 years when it's mutter to hoard peros. Which are those years? Erev Shvius, Vishvius, and Motzoi Shvius. Well, we know, obviously, every Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant, and therefore, heading into the Shemitah, you're allowed to store peros because there might be, you have to provide for yourself for the next 3 years. So it's Erev Shvius, it's Shvius when you're not allowed to plant itself, and then it's Motzoi Shvius, you're of course allowed to plant, but it takes a whole season in order for the crops to get ready, and in order to make sure that there's enough food, those years you are allowed to store crops. Uvishne betzores. However, if it's a time of famine, afilu kav charuvin lo yatzar b'mnei shemachnis ma'ara b'sharim. If there's a time of famine, then all bets are off. Then you're not allowed to store anything because whatever little amount you try to hoard is going to have a very, very profound impact on the market, and it's going to cause other people not to be able to afford the staples in life. Similarly, Rav Yossi b'Rav Chanina, Amar Rav Yossi l'Rav Chanina l'gufa shamei. Say, Rav Yossi b'Rav Chanina said to Gufa's servant, "Puk otzer li peri shalosh shanim." He said, "In fact, go gather for me peros 3 years." Erev Shvius, Vishvius, Umatzai Shvius, and this is in accordance with what the Gemara just told us, that even though ordinarily in Eretz Yisrael it's usur to hoard staples, in the years of the year preceding Shvius, Shemitah year itself, and the year following Shemitah, it is mutter. All right, Tana Rabbanan, three lines up from the bottom. Ein Motzi in Peres Meretz Yisrael, Dvorim Sheesh Bem Chaye Nefesh. You're not allowed to bring staples, food which are staples, out of Eretz Yisrael. Kagon, Yeno Shmanim Veslosos, like these types of things. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, Matir B'Yayin. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira says, now you're allowed to take wine out of Eretz Yisrael, and in fact, please, take as much wine out of Eretz Yisrael as you can. Why? B'mnei because the more wine you take out of Eretz Yisrael, the more you are going to reduce the amount of indecency in Eretz Yisrael. Because obviously the more wine you drink, especially if you're not careful, you could let go, you could start behaving in an inappropriate manner. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra thought that the more you could take wine out of Eretz Yisrael and cause people to behave properly in Eretz Yisrael with more decency as opposed to indecency, that's going to be better. And just like you're not allowed to take wine from or these types of things from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, kach emotim Eretz Yisrael l'Surya, so too you are not allowed to take these things out from Eretz Yisrael to Surya. What's the chiddush here? The chiddush here, according to the Mefarshim, is that kibish loch yachid lo shmei kibish. So Surya was conquered by David HaMelech. However, it was not conquered in the same manner as like a full-on annexation with Rov Yisrael and everything. So there are many different shitas in the Rishonim as to why Kivish Yalkut is Lo Shmei Kivish. Unfortunately, we have a whole daf to get through, so we're not going to be able to get into that now. Suffice it to say, for the purpose of this Gemara, the point is that Surya has the same din as Chutz La'aretz, legabe the fact that you're not allowed to bring things from Eretz Yisrael into Surya. So says the Gemara Vayter, Rebbe Matir me hafrachya lahafrachya. So Rebbe is Matir that you're allowed to bring from a border town in Eretz Yisrael out to a border town in Surya or in Chutz La'aretz, because if it's mamish from one border to the next, then it's almost as if it's the same place. And therefore it's going to be mutter. Tana Rabbanan. Ein mishtakrin b'Eretz Yisrael b'dvarim sheyesh b'em chayei ochal nefesh k'gon yeno shmonim v'slosos. That you're not allowed to make a profit, you're not allowed to turn a profit in Eretz Yisrael on things that are chayei nefesh, on staples, on the foods which are staples, like wine and oil and flour. So you're not allowed to be mishtaker. So the achronim are medayin whether this is a din in Eretz Yisrael or whether this is a din in not profiting at the expense of other Jewish people. The nafkamina being, are you allowed to profit from these staples in Chutz La'aretz, but in a makom where rov of the makom are Yisrael? If it's a din in Eretz Yisrael, then it's not in Eretz Yisrael, so you're allowed to do whatever you want. If it's a din in that you're not supposed to profit when you're going to be profiting at the expense of other Jews, then it would turn out that halacha would apply even in Chutz La'aretz, so long as you're dealing in an Ir Sharuba Yisrael, you also wouldn't be allowed to profit. So says the Gemara Vayter, three lines down, Amru Alav al Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Shayi Mishtaker b'yayin v'shemen, that he would be Mishtaker, he would in fact profit both from Yayin and Shemen. Why? I thought you just told me in a brisa that I'm not allowed to be mishtaker from these three things. It says b'yayin savarla k'rav Yehuda. By yayin, he held like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra that really it's not really a staple in that sense. And in fact, we want to make it more difficult for people to buy wine because that will cause the level of indecency to decrease. And b'shemen, why was he allowed to profit from oil? Because ba'asrav de Rav Elazar ben Azariah shchiach mishcha. Because in the place of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, oil was very, very prevalent. It was in very large supply. And the Rashbam says it's not only a din in oil. Obviously, the whole reason that you're not allowed to hoard peros, which is what we began the daf with, and the whole reason that you're not allowed to turn a profit on peros is because we're afraid that you're going to make yourself the sole supplier and you're going to drive up the price. It's going to cause people not to be able to afford these staples in life. However, if something is in large supply, like Shemen was in the town of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, then as much as you hoard, you're not going to be the only game in town. So if you want to hoard and you want to charge a high price and there are other people selling the same thing for less, because at the height, you're not going to make any money anyway. So there, in that case, it's going to be fine. The Rashbam explains it's not a din in oil. It has to do any time there's a lot of something, we're not going to be so concerned with regulating the prices because we're not going to be concerned with people's ability or inability to find that thing, to find that item. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ein mishtakrin pa'amayim bebeitzim, that you're not allowed to be mishtaker twice with eggs. So what does this mean? So Omar Murray Bar Murray, Pligi Bar Rav Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas about this. Chad Omar Al Chad Trey. One says that you're not allowed to apply a 100% markup. that when it says pamayim, it means that you don't have to sell an egg for cost because you're entitled to make money if you're in business, but you can't mark it up 100%, twice the cost. And another Mandi Amar says that you have to be careful about not transacting from one merchant to another merchant. Why? And the reason that you can't transact from one merchant to another merchant is because when one merchant sells to another, obviously the second merchant who's buying isn't buying for the purpose of selling at the price at which he bought, because then he'd go out of business pretty quickly, because you have to make a profit if you want to be in business. So the second merchant is going to mark it up. So the problem when you sell from one to the next is now there are going to be two markups applied. And the more markups are applied, the more inaccessible the item will be to people. And that's why you should not do that. The reason that we use beitzim is a type of staple, obviously. So Tana Rabbanan, it says the Gemara Vayter, again, about shortages in potential shortages in food of the type that we're trying to protect against. So Masriyan al Prakmatia. So you're allowed to be Masriya on Prakmatia, on merchandise, Va'afilu b'Shabbos, if there's a shortage of merchandise, and even on Shabbos. So what does Masriyan mean? So we know, we should remember from Maseches Tanis, that whenever we use the Lashon of Masriya, it can mean one of two things. Either it can mean literally Masriyan, that you blow truas with the shofar, which is what they used to do at the time of an Eis Tzara, at the time of a Tanis, or Masriya means that you cry out in tefillah. So just thinking about it, it's probably a very nice raya to the famous Mahalach of the Rav, who says that shofar has a din of tefillah. It's a part of a din of ritzui. And the word masriya is used, in fact, interchangeably. Sometimes it means shofar, sometimes it means tefillah. Says the Rashbam, here it means tefillah. Why? Because you're definitely not going to start blowing the shofar on Shabbos because there's a shortage of merchandise in the market. But the chiddush over here is generally on Shabbos, we know. Shabbos, we of course daven, but Shabbos, we don't daven tefillos of rachamim. However, if there's a shortage and if there's a dire situation, then you could daven these type of tefillos. You could cry out in supplication even on Shabbos. So says the Gemara Vayter, first wide line, Amar Rav Yochanan, kagon klei peshtam bebavel, like, what's prakmatia? What does it mean if there's a shortage of merchandise? It means if there's a shortage of klei peshtam and bavel, v'yayim v'shemen v'eretz Yisrael. If there's a shortage in these types of things, you're allowed to be masriya, even on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Yosef, and now when are you allowed to be masriya? V'hu dezol v'kam asara b'shisa. That's only when the items become so cheap that they're now standing at 60% of their original value. And when the market is dislocated like this, it's not good for anybody. Ultimately, there's going to wind up being a shortage of the item. Tana Rabbanan, in Yotzei Me'aretz Me'aretz L'chutz La'aretz. So says the Gemara Vayter that you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and go out to Chutz La'aretz. So why not? So says the Rashbam, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because you're mafkia yourself from mitzvos. What mitzvos is the Rashbam talking about? L'chora, the Rashbam's talking about the mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz. So you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz La'aretz, because in Eretz Yisrael you can perform all of the mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz. Once you leave Eretz Yisrael, you're no longer allowed to perform the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. So the Achronim have a nice time discussing why does the Rashbam say that you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, because you are going to be mafkia yourself from the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. Why doesn't he say that you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Because then you are no longer performing the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, machlokas already in the Rishonim, whether Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a separate mitzvah or whether it's part of other mitzvahs. Is there a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Maybe it's a mitzvah kiyumis as opposed to a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's a mitzvah that if you're there, you're performing a mitzvah, but there's no obligation to pick up and go there. So maybe that's why the Rashbam didn't say that you're being mafkia yourself in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But says the Rashbam, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because there are so many mitzvahs that we have the opportunity to perform in Eretz Yisrael that we don't have the opportunity to perform here in Chutz La'aretz. Says the Gemara, what's the exception? Ele'im kein amdu sasayim b'sela. Unless two saw of wheat cost a sela, and says the Rashbam, this is twice the ordinary price of the wheat. So if the cost of wheat is going to be twice as much as usual, then it's a very difficult time, very difficult to live in Eretz Yisrael. In that case, you were allowed to leave. Some Rav Shimon, Emasai b'zman she'ina motzei likach. That's only when there's nothing available, when you can't find anything. Ava b'zman she'motzei likach, afilu amda sa b'sela l'yatza. However, if you can find produce to buy, then even if a sa costs a sela, even if it's much more inflation, then you still can't leave Eretz Yisrael. V'cheino y'Rav Shimon y'cha yomer. And here's our segue into Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion. So too, Rav Shimon ben Yochai used to say, Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion, Gdoli Adar Hayu. They were Gdoli Adar, Ufarnasei Adar Hayu, and they were supporters of the generation. They were Parnasei Adar. Why were they punished? Because they left Eretz Yisrael, they went out to Chutz Laretz. Shenemar, Vatam, Kol Ir Aleim, and the whole city was in an uproar over them. Vatomarna hazos nami, and they were asking about Nami, who left with them. Is this Nami? Like, what happened to her? My hazos nami. What does it mean, hazos nami? Amru Rav Yitzchak, Amru chazisem nami. Have you seen Nami sheyatzas me'aretz l'chutz laretz ma'olsala? Have you seen the Nami who left Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz? Whatever happened to her? And so they were wondering. They were wondering whatever happened to her. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Otsu Ayom Shabasa Rutsa Moavil Eretz Yisrael, Mesa Ishto Shel Boaz. That day that Rutsa Moavil came to Eretz Yisrael, Boaz's wife had died. Vahainu da Amriinchi, and that's what people say, Aldolo Shachiv Shichva Kaima. Before somebody dies, that person's replacement is already born. As if to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the refuah before the Makkah. Boaz's wife was going to die. Boaz was destined to marry Rus. The same day that Rus entered Eretz Yisrael, Boaz's wife died. So, Kaimu Manibaisa, I'm sorry, that the replacement is already appointed before the person dies. So, Amar Rabba Baravhuna, Amar Rav, Ivtsan ze Boaz. Ivtsan is Boaz. So, my Kamash Malan. So, what? Okay, so Ivtsan was Boaz. So, what are you teaching me? Ki idach the Rabba Baravhuna. Like the other Maimur of Rabba Baravhuna. The Amar Rabba Baravhuna, Amar Rav, Meyo ve Esra Mishtos, also Boaz Labanov. Boaz made 120 parties for his kids. Why did he make so many parties? Shenemar. Vayihu lo shloshim banim v'shloshim banos. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He sent out of his house, right? Because he raised them and then they left his house. So the daughters he sent to other people's houses in order to marry off their husbands. He brought in another 30 daughters-in-law, 30 girls into his house in order to marry his 30 sons. So, v'yishpat es Yisrael sheva shanim, and he judged Yisrael, he judged Klal Yisrael for 7 years, v'chol achas v'achas osa shtei mishos. And for each one of his 60 kids, he made 2 parties. Therefore, he made a total of 120 parties. Why did he make 2 parties? Echas v'beis aviv, one in the house of the father of the child, meaning in his own house, like an ofrof, so to speak, or a sudas erusin, v'echas v'beis chamav, and one in his one in the house of the father-in-law, and says the Rashbam, that's sheva brachas. So for each of his kids, he made a sudas erusin, he made a sheva brachas. He had 60 kids, 60 times 2, 120. Uvekulan lo zimen es manoach, and he didn't invite Manoach to any of these 120 sudas. So can you imagine you're living and you're friendly in the same circles as somebody who's making 120 simchas, and the person doesn't invite you to a single one of those simchas. So why not? So says the Gemara, Boaz said, Kudna Akara, this sterile mule, b'mai parali, how will he repay me? So sometimes you invite somebody to a simcha because that person is going to make a simcha also, and you think that person is going to make a simcha to behold, a very fancy simcha. So you invite that person so that you should be reciprocate, that the person should reciprocate and should invite you back. Some people don't like going to other people's simchas, but whatever the case is, Boaz said about Manoach, Boaz says he's a sterile mule, meaning he doesn't have any kids. How's he going to repay me? So I'm going to invite him now to 120 parties. The guy's not going to be able to invite me back to anything. Says the Ben Yoyada, what in the world is going on here? This is Boaz. Boaz was a tzaddik. Boaz was a shofet. He was a judge of Klal Yisrael. All the Shoftim had to be tzaddikim. How could it be that Boaz would talk so insensitively and say that he's not going to invite Manoach to his Suda because Manoach doesn't have any kids and he's not going to be able to reciprocate and refer to him as a sterile mule? It doesn't make any sense. Says the Ben Yoyada that no. Boaz, it's not that he was referring to him derisively as a sterile mule. Boaz didn't invite Manoach because he was afraid that Manoach would feel, he would feel upset. He would be very, very regretful and embarrassed that he was invited to all these parties and he wouldn't have the opportunity to reciprocate. So in order that he shouldn't make Manoach feel bad, he didn't invite him. It didn't work in the end because Manoach did feel bad, but that was his intent. It wasn't that he was saying it in a mean-spirited way. He was doing it only with a sensitivity toward Manoach in mind. So says the Ben Yoyada. But it didn't work. Manoach was very upset, and he took offense. And Tana says back in the Gemara, Tana, v'chula mesu b'chayav. And every one of these 60 kids died in Boaz's lifetime. They all predeceased Boaz. V'hainu damri inchi, and that's what people say, b'chayecha, b'chayecha dialdit shisin shisin lamalich, ichpol ba'olid chad nemeshisin zariz. So what good is all of these 60 kids? In other words, if they're going to predecease you, better one child that's going to be more accomplished than all of the first 60. Why? Because what do you mean more accomplished? Because we know that then Boaz wound up marrying Rus, and they gave birth, and they had Ovid as their child, and Ovid was the grandfather of David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the father of all of the Jewish Malchus. And so that one child was more accomplished than the 60 who came before him. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Abba. Says the Gemara Vayter. So says Rav Chanan Bar Abba, Amar Rav. Elimelech v'shalmon uploni almoni v'avi naman. All of these people. Kulam b'nei Nachshon ben Aminadav ninu. Hein. They're all sons of Nachshon ben Aminadav. My Kamash Malan, what are you teaching me? Because even somebody who has chus avos, these were descendants of Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was so righteous and such a mamin that he jumped into the Yamsuf to cause the Yamsuf to split. Chus avos doesn't stand up for you if you leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laretz. V'yam Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav, Imed Avram, Amasloi bar Karnavo, the mother of Avram Avinu was named Amasloi bar Karnavo. Ime de Haman Amasloi bar Uvsi, the mother of Haman was named Amasloi bar Uvsi. Visimonech Tame Tame Tar Tar, and the simon is Tame Tame Tar Tar. Says the Rashbam that Karnavo is from the lashon of Keves. It's like the lashon of a lamb, and a lamb is a kosher animal. Coincidence, Davyomi coincidence. Yesterday we read all about the Tameh and the Tar animals, and the mother of Haman, her name is Orev, a raven. A raven is a non-kosher bird. So the Gemara is going to explain why we're talking about, why is it important to know what Avram's mother's name was. But first we have a couple more. Ime de David, the mother of David was Natseves Basa Doel Shma. Ime de Shimshon, Tzlafonis was Tzlalfonis. Va'achse, and Shimshon's sister was Nashian. So Lamai Nafkamina. So what's the Nafkamina? L'tshuva Saminim, it's to Tshuva Saminim. Why is this Tshuva Saminim? Because the Minim, they don't believe in Torah Shabal Peh. So they ask, your Torah Shabiksav has references to the mother of, we know who the mother of Yitzchak was, obviously we know the mother of Yaakov was, but the Torah never tells us who the mother of Abram was. Similarly, in Navi, we have the Navi telling us who the mother of a lot of great personalities in Jewish history were, but not Shimshon, not David HaMelech. So this is a tshuva to the Minim, because it shows we have a Mesorah here in Torah Shebaal Peh. We have a Mesorah in the Gemara, what these women's names were, and it shows that you can't even learn Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebaal Peh coming to explain it. So V'yamar Rav, a little bit weiter, V'yamar Rav Chanan, five lines up, V'yamar Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav, Eser Shanem Nechbash Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was imprisoned for was imprisoned for 10 years. Why was Avraham Avinu imprisoned? The Rashbam has two different interpretations. One was that Nimrod put Avraham Avinu in prison, and the other is that Terach, his own father, put Avraham Avinu in prison because Avraham Avinu, according to the story that we all learn in pre-1a, Avraham Avinu broke, he smashed all of Terach's idols, so Terach wanted to imprison him. So he was in prison for 10 years. Shalosh Bekusa v'sheva Bekardo. 3 in Kusa, 7 in Kardo, Rav Dima ben Ardoi, Masni Yefcha. Rav Dima ben Ardoi says, no, it was 7 in Kusa and 3 in Kardo. Some Rav Chista, Ivra Zeira, De Kusa, the place that's referred to as Ivra Zeira in Kusa, Zeh Ur Kostim. That is Ur Kostim. Says the Rashbam, what's the Nafkamina? So the Nafkamina is that when you pass by that place, you have to make a bracha, sha'asa nisim lavaseinu. The halacha is that when you pass by a place at which a miracle occurred to your forefathers, your ancestors, you have to make a bracha of sha'asa nisim. So if you pass by this place that's called Ivra Dekusa, you should just know, Dekusa, you should just know that's Ur Kostim, you have to make such a bracha. V'yamarav chanam barav amarav, osu ayom sheniftar Avraham Avinu min ha'olam, the day that Avraham Avinu died, amdu kol gdolei umas ha'olam b'shura, they all stood in a shura. Shura was the way that they used to be Menachem Avel. V'yamru oy lo li'olam she'avad manhigo, woe is to the world that lost its manhig. The world didn't lose its manhig. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the manhig, not Avraham Avinu. So the Mefarshim explained, she'avad manhigo, who lost the person who introduced everybody in the world to the manhig, because until Avraham Avinu came along, nobody recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control over the world. V'ayla l'sfina sha'avad kavrinta. And woe is to the sfina that lost its helmsman. So says the Gemara, V'ayter v'amis nasei l'chol rosh. The Gemara is going to darshan the pasuk of v'amis nasei l'chol rosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints the heads of everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands over all them. Some Rav Chanan bar Rav Amarav, afilu resh gargusa mishmaya mukmile. Even the irrigation supervisor. So every person who's in any capacity of leadership at all is appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even somebody who's as unimportant as the head irrigation person, if he's in a position of srara, also appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So Amar Rav, afilu reish gar mishmaya mukmila. So Amar Rav Chia bar Avin, Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, chas v'shalom, shafilu matzu subin lo yatsu. Going back to the maimer of Elimelech, Machlan and Kulian leaving Eretz Yisrael and being punished, they said, chas v'shalom, even if they would have found Subin, even if they only would have found bran, which is Michael Behema, to eat in Eretz Yisrael, they would not have left Eretz Yisrael. In that case, why were they punished? Because they should have been Mavakesh Rachmim on their generation. They weren't Mavakesh Rachmim. Therefore, they were punished. That the proper response of a leader is that when there's a hardship that befalls somebody in his midst, he cries out on his behalf. Elimelech, Machlan, and Kilion were punished because they didn't cry out. Amar Rabba Barbachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lashanu, Elamos, Bezul, Uperos, Beyukar. That the only time when we say that you're not allowed to leave until the prices adjust a certain percentage, that's only if money is cheap. What does money is cheap mean? It means money is plentiful, and Peros, Beyukar, and the Peros are simply expensive. Avomos biyukar, however, if the money's expensive, meaning that people don't have any money, that there's a shortage of money, afilu amdu arba sin besela yotzen, even if the produce happens to be very cheap, if there is no money with which to buy the produce, then you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. The Amar Rav Yochanan, Nihirna, now we're going to have a bunch of Mamarim where the Amaram are going to tell us what they remember from the days of the Churban. The Amar Rav Yochanan, Nihirna Kad, Havi Kaimen Arba Son Besela. I remember once that 4 saw of wheat cost a sela. Vavi Nefishi Nefichi Kabim B'Tveria Mideles Iser. And the bellies of kids were swollen in Tveria because we didn't have money. And this supports that which we just said, that even if produce is very cheap, Nevertheless, if people don't have money to buy produce, then that's a condition of famine, then that's a reason to leave Eretz Yisrael. V'yemer Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says another statement, here nekad lo avi mitgarin poalin lamindach karsa, that poalin wouldn't hire themselves out to work east of the city, mereach pisa maisim, lest they die from the smell of the bread, because of the westerly wind that came and blew the smell of the bread that people were baking toward the east. There was a shortage of food, and the workers couldn't buy food. And when they smelled the food that they couldn't buy, they had such hunger pangs they died. So Rav Yochanan says another maimer. Nehir nakad havi batsa yenuka charuva. I remember when a child would break open a carob. Vavi nugid chuta deduv shal trin deruyi. And a stream of honey and a stripe of honey would flow that would fill up the Tinok's two hands. Now he's talking about how wonderful things were in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael was producing fruit, which was remarkable. Even a carob, a buxer, you would break it open and it would have so much honey in it. And now he's comparing it with the way things were after the Churban. And after the Churban, the land dried up and the fruit stopped being so remarkable. V'yemer Rav Elazar, and Rav Elazar says a similar comment. Nihir nakad havinotel urva bisra. I remember when a raven would grab a piece of meat and fly up, v'nogid chuta demishcha mereshura vad la'ara, and a stream of fatty oil would fall and cover from the wall down to the floor, because the food in Eretz Yisrael was so abundant and so rich. V'yemer Rav Yochanan, nihir nakad havimetayli talia v'talayasa b'shuka. I remember when a boy and a girl would walk in the shuk together, kvar shisisrei, kvar shevesrei, even as old as 16 or 17 years old, v'lo avichotan, and they wouldn't sin. However, now after the Churban, people are not as meticulous in modesty, and it's not possible for people to go together without sinning. V'yemer Rav Yochanan, nihir nakad havi amran v'medrosha. I once heard that they said in the Beis Medrash, the Modi Lahon, whoever is Modeh to Avodah Zarah, Nafil B'yadein, is going to fall into their grasp. The Misrachitz Aleon, somebody who trusts them and therefore divulges to them the person's secrets and his monetary affairs, Delay Dilhon. What is his will ultimately be theirs, because the idolaters will ultimately take advantage of him. So says the Gemara Vayter. So Ksiv Machlan v'Kilion v'Ksiv Yoash v'Sara. It says Lagabe Machlan and Kilion. It says Machlan and Kilion. Other times it calls them Yoash and Saraf. So that sets up a machlokes. Rav Shmuel Chadamar Machlan v'Kilion Shman. One says that Machlan and Kilion were their names. V'Lama Nikra Shman Yoash v'Saraf. And why were they called Yoash v'Saraf? Yoash shenis yashu min ha-geula. Yoash, because he was nisyayish, he gave up hope from the geula. Saraf shenis chayvu sreifa l'makom. And Saraf is because they were mischayiv sreifa to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why were they mischayiv sreifa? Again, they were mischayiv sreifa because, as the Gemara told us earlier on the Amud, they were not mispalel on their generation. They didn't daven that the people of their generation should be saved. V'chad amar Yoash v'Saraf shman v'lama nikra shman Machlon v'Kilion. Others say that Yoash and Saraf were their names. In that case, why were they called Machlon and Kilion? Machlon shasu gufan chulin. Machlon, because they made their bodies chulin. Why did they make their bodies chulin? When they left Eretz Yisrael, the Makom Kedusha, and they went to Chutz Laretz, they made their bodies chulin because they took it out of Eretz Yisrael. First medium sized line, v'chilion and kilion ish neschayev klia lamakom, because they were neschayev klia lamakom because they left Eretz Yisrael. So Tanya, Kamandi Amar Machlon v'Kilion Shman. We have a brisa like the Mandi Amar says that their names were actually Machlon and Kilion. The Tanya, Maidich Siv, V'Yokim V'Anshe Kuziva V'Yoash V'Saraf Asher Baalu L'Moav V'Yashvu Lechem V'Advarim Atikim. What does this pasuk mean? It's very cryptic. It talks about people like in giving them code names, giving them nicknames. And over here, pay attention, two of the nicknames that we give are Yoash and Saraf, and we're going to darshan who all these people were. V'yokim ze Yoshua, shehikim shvua la'anshe Givon. Yokim is Yoshua, who was making a shvua to the Anshe Givon, that he upheld the shvua to the Anshe Givon. It turns out that the Anshe Givon presented themselves as Jews. They really weren't, but Yeshua said that he wouldn't harm them, and he abided by that shvua. V'Anshe Koziva, who are the Anshe Koziva, Elu Anshe Givon, these are the Anshe Givon, Shekozvu B'Yoshua, that they lied to Yoshua. They told them that they were Jews, they really weren't. So they're called Anshe Koziva because they were Kozev, they lied. The Yoash V'Saraf, Elu Machlon V'Kilion, Yoash and Saraf are Machlon and Kilion. V'Lama Nikra Shman Yoash V'Saraf, why were they called Yoash V'Saraf? Yoash Shenis Yashu Min Hagula, that they lost hope that the Gula would occur. Saraf Shenis Chayvu Sreifa Lamakam, and Saraf because they were Mischayev Sreifa to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher Baal Lulamoav, what does it mean that they were Baal Moav? It means Shenasu Nashim Moavios, that they married Moavite women. V'yoshvu Lechem, and they were Yoshvev Lechem, Zu Rus HaMoavia, that's Rus HaMoavia, Sheshava V'nidbeka Bebeis Lechem Yehuda, that she lived in Beis Lechem Yehuda. V'advarim Atikin, and these were Dvarim Atikin, Dvarim Alalu Atik Yomin Amran, that these things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was the Atik Yomin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, set all of this stuff in motion, that Machlon and Kilion would leave Eretz Yisrael, they would go to Chutzlaretz, Rus HaMoavia would come back, she would marry Boaz, who would then have as a child Oved, who had Yishai, and then who had David HaMelech. So this was all put in place by the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tichsiv Matsasi David Avdi, Tichsiv Shnei Benosecha Hanimtzos. So all of this was put in motion by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hema Hayotzrim, these are the potters, says the Gemara Vayter. These are the potters, V'yoshvei Netiyim, and the V'gidra, and the people who live among the saplings and the fences, Ima Melech B'Malachto Yashvu Sham. So the Gemara is now going to darshan this pasuk. Hema Hayotzrim Elu Bnei Yundav Ben Rachav. These are the sons of Yundav Ben Rachav. Shenatzru Shvuos Aviem. That they heeded the shvua of their father. What's the shvua of their father? The shvuos Aviem, says the Rashbam, Shlo Lishtosh Yayin Lo Livnos Batim. That they wouldn't drink wine, nor would they build houses. They lived even before the Chorban, but they knew that there was a Nevuah that the Chorban was going to come, and because it was already a Nevuah that the Chorban was going to come, they already took on themselves measures of Avelos. So that's that they were notzer, that they heeded the Shvuah of their father. Yoshvei Netaim, Zeshlomo Shedome Linetia B'malchuso. He was like a sapling in his Malchus. V'gadra, and what's the fences, the reference to fences, Zu Sanhedrin, this is Sanhedrin, Shegadru Pertzosein Shel Yisrael, that they are goder, they fence in the potential breaches of Yisrael. Why? Because Sanhedrin makes gzeros, they make gedarim, and that's why the Sanhedrin is referred to as people who build fences. Ima melech b'malachto yashvu sham, zu rus ha-moavia, this is rus ha-moavia, sherasa b'malchus shlomo ben bino shel ben bina, that rus ha-moavia saw the malchus of Shlomo, the grandson of her grandson. So, wow. Shenemar v'yosem kisei le'im ha-melech. And it says that Shlomo made a kisei le'im ha-melech v'yama Rav Elazar le'ima shel malchus. And Rav Elazar says it means for the ima shel malchus. It means for the Rashbam says sheyatsu mimena kol ha-melechem, the matriarch of all malchus, because from her all malchus came out. Mefarshim explained that had the pasuk meant to tell us that Shlomo made a kisei for his mother, it just would have said li'imo. Le'yosem kisei li'imo. Why does it say ema melech? Ema melech, because we're supposed to darshan ima shel malchus. Tanu Rabbanan, v'achaltem min ha'tvua yashan, that you will eat from the tvua yashan, below Salmantone, without Salmantone. What does this mean? My below Salmantone. What does it mean without Salmantone? Rav Nachman Amar below Ritzinsa, without a worm, without worm infestation. Rav Sheshes Amar below Shadifa, without any decay. That you'll be able to store a bunch of things, a bunch of produce in warehouses, and it won't decay. Tanya Kavasei de Rav Sheshes, Tanya Kavasei de Rav Nachman, we have a brisa like both. Tanya Kavasei de Rav Nachman, we have a brisa like Rav Nachman, Vachaltem Yashan, Yochol Yu Yisrael Mitzapim Lechadish Mnesha Yashan Shekala. I might think that the Yisrael would wait for Chadash because there was no Yashan left, because it was all decayed with worm. Tamalomar ad ba tfuasa ad shetovo tfua me'elea. No, on the contrary, Klal Yisrael had the luxury of eating yashan until the new produce was ripened called sarcho. Had there been a shortage, they would have had to pull the produce up even earlier, but they didn't because there was an overabundance of produce. Tanya kavazei derav sheishes ve'achaltem min atfua yashan yochol yu Yisrael mitzapim l'chadash mnei yashan shera. I might think that Yisrael would wait for the chadash because the yashan would have turned bad, would have decayed. Tamalomar ad ba tfuasa ad shetavo tfua me'alea. No, again, they had the luxury of waiting until the tfua was a special called tzorcha, because the old tfua was still perfectly fine. It didn't get wormy, it didn't decay at all. Tan rabbanan ve'achaltam yashan noshan. What's the double lashan? Melame shekolam yusha mechavero hava yafa mechavero. We learn that the older something is, the better it gets. Ve'ainli eladvarim shadachan liyashnan. That only maybe applies by dvarim which are darkon liashran, where it's the minug to store them and to allow them to age, like a wine, something like that. How do you know by other things? Dvarim she'en darkon liashran minayin. How do you know that even dvarim she'en darkon liashran, that they still get better with age? Tamalomar yashran noshan mikol makom. That it's better if it's aged, no matter what it is. V'yashram emnei chodesh totziyu. That their storehouses were filled with yashan, the granos and the granaries were malei and chadash. And they said, how are we going to get rid of this to eat that? How are we going to get rid of the old produce to eat the new produce? We have such an abundance of produce. Amara papa kol mili atika ma'alya. All old things are good. Levar mitamri, except for date, shichra beer, vaharsan, and small fish. Everything else, the older it gets, the better it gets. All right, hadron ala chamocher es asfina. Rabbi Leibowitz is back tomorrow when we start hamocher peros lechavero. And for those listening online and for those here, we will have the opportunity to learn together again, God willing, in the first month of the summer.